Mad Radio, Sports Radio 610. The Texans are 28 days away from training camp. Sean Pendergast has a column about what they need to do because decisions have to be made. Do not fall into this false sense of security of, well, they have no GM and no decisions have to be made. They have big decisions to be made because this team, as you guys know, does not negotiate long-term deals with guys in season, which means with the guys who are up after this season, they need to make decisions now, whether to re-sign them or not re-sign them. Let's start with DJ Reader. I expect him to get a new deal at some point in the next 2 months. What do you think?
You expect him to get a new deal sometime in the next 2 months?
Yes.
Because who's going to negotiate that deal? DJ Reader will get a new deal in the next 2 months.
Okay, so
because he's reasonable, it'll be for a reasonable amount. Yeah, DJ Reader's kind of stuck in that no man's land now where he's not an interior pass rusher. Largely, like, guys run-stuffing defensive tackles aren't rewarded the same way they used to be rewarded, but the Texans and Romeo Crennel really seem to care about it, and they're good at it. They're one of the best run defenses in the league. DJ Reader's a big part of that, so he'll get a reasonable contract, and I don't think it won't move a lot of people's meters, and it won't show up as like a record-breaking deal or anything. So yeah, that's going to get done because it's going to be pretty basic.
Doesn't he seem like their kind of guy?
Oh yeah, he's versatile along the defensive line. He can play nose guard, he can play left or right end, he can line up as a 4-3 defensive tackle, as a 3-4 defensive lineman.
He's been durable,
and he's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's Texans worthy is what he is.
Like, he's the kind of guy who I'd be very, very surprised if they did not re-sign a deal that's going to be pretty reasonable, I think. And I'm good with that. It's not the highest priority position now, nose tackle, no offense, but, I mean,
he doesn't play nose. He plays defensive end.
Fair enough.
It's not even...
He's not a pass rusher.
I mean, he can play nose, but right, yeah, he's a run-stuffing defensive lineman. And he can rush the passer, it's just not as... You don't think of him as a pass rusher. He's not a forte.
All right, so we're on the same page with Reader. We both expect him to get a new deal. All right, Nick Martin. What about Nick Martin?
I don't know what they're going to do with Nick Martin. And this is what concerns me, is that we haven't seen great things out of him. And I always wonder with Nick Martin on any given time, like, okay, is this egregious mental error his fault or the guard's fault? There's too many times where I just don't know if it's the guard screwing up or the center. And they're the kinds of mistakes that get quarterbacks killed. I guess, given the way that Bill O'Brien talks about Nick Martin, a lot of times that's been the guard's fault. And I do this, like, when I see offensive linemen mess up, what I usually do is I've got a few different guys that I played with that I'll send it to, like Steve McKinney or Drew Hodgdon or some former offensive lineman from around the league I'll send cut-ups to. And it's funny with offensive linemen. They're always very careful. Wade, obviously. I do it with Wade Smith a lot. They're always very careful to point out, like, all right, this could be one of three things, because they never want to call out a guy without knowing what the actual protection is.
Yes.
For whatever it's worth, a whole lot of them errors end up being between the center or the guard, and I guess a lot of the times it's just been the guard's issue or the guard's mistake.
This is one where it feels like they're going to give Nick Martin a new contract, and we're going to be sitting here 2 months feeling like, are we sure this is the right idea?
Yeah.
That's what that feels like to me. I asked O'Brien 2 weeks ago about the offensive line. So pay close attention to the way he answered this question. I asked him just what he thinks about the way the offensive line developed during OTAs.
I think without pads, so I think you have to really qualify that answer to make sure that you know that they don't have pads on. So everything on the front, whether it's offensive or defensive line, is determined by when you put the pads on. So take that and qualify this answer that however way you want to. They've improved. They've improved in their knowledge. They've improved in their technique. It's a very good group of guys. They work very hard. They're in early. They stay late. They do a lot of things together off the field. I think Nick Martin does a great job leading that group. I think he's a great leader. And so I think they've improved. Again, when we go to full pads, you know, let's see how that improvement takes shape with full pads on.
I found it notable that Martin was the one guy who O'Brien mentioned by name in that answer.
Yeah, I think the thing with Martin is that he doesn't have all pro athleticism. Like, there's certain things as a center that he can't do or doesn't do well. You know, like, one of the hardest things for a center to do is if he's able to reach block a nose tackle by himself without any help from the guard at all. And without getting too technical, it's basically just like on a run play, he can take care of a guy all by himself when the alignment is hard. he's not a guy that athletically is able to do that. So that part doesn't stand out. But he's plenty athletic enough to do the things that you want a solid starting center to do. And it's just a matter of tying it all together. And I guess they got to figure out, all right, does he still have room in him for more development, especially if he's got like some NFL caliber guards next to him?
I think so.
I think they feel that way. If Nick Martin is the fifth best offensive lineman on your roster, you could be in pretty good shape.
He could be in
centers. The longer a center spends in a system, he becomes more valuable to that system. Like with Chris Myers here in Houston, he became more and more valuable to Houston than he would have been anywhere else, partly because he knew Kubiak's system so well. So it was worth the Texans paying him more money than other places would, because Chris was very athletic. He was kind of undersized, but he was very athletic, and he was really, really smart, and that mattered a lot. So I think that's what they're hoping Nick Martin really turns into, is like a guy that just knows the system so well. And then this year, with T.J. Yates working with the offensive line to make them smarter and to get them on the same page with Deshaun Watson, then that becomes even more valuable. You know what I'm thinking of is Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday went to a bunch of Pro Bowls. I think he was all pro a few times. I'm not sure. He wasn't physically gifted, but he was really good at what he did. And as a center, that's almost more valuable than the physical gifts sometimes. That ends up making you the good center. So
I believe that.
I think that's how I feel about Nick Martin.
If I was running this team, I would not give Nick Martin a new deal this offseason. Unless I was convinced that he was going to improve like Whitney Mercilus did before he got his second contract. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. If he signs a routine, something less than he would get in free agency, like he just wants to go for the security, I'd be all about that.
Then
it's
got to
be that
that
kind of a deal.
Yes. Then I could live with that.
Yeah. Like, now you can't give him like, wow, look at that. He's a top five paid center. You can't give him that. That's silly. There's other guys that can get in, like Greg Mance or somebody can come in and play for a lot less and get more bang for the buck.
We're discussing the big decisions that the Texans have to make in the next 10 or 11 weeks.
Because it's not like he's got 2 years left on his deal. This is the last year of his contract.
I know.
Okay.
Listen, they didn't do anything this offseason. I'm going to use that cap space and use that to my advantage.
Yeah.
It might come back to hurt me if he has a big season that I got to pay him a lot of money.
Right, so you're not sitting here saying you have to sign him, but I mean, this is exactly what you get with, let's say, Connor Barwin.
Yes.
Connor Barwin's the cautionary tale for NFL players, because Connor Barwin turned down a contract offer from the Texans before his free agency year.
Had a down year.
And he should have taken it. Like, he didn't. It's not that he had a down year. It's that he went back to kind of having a normal Connor Barwin year. The year before, he'd had a really good season.
Yep.
Then he had like a good enough season, like a solid season, which was Connor Barwin was really good for some really solid seasons. But it ended up hurting him. Like, somebody like Nick Martin shouldn't be in the position of turning down like a pretty good contract, even if it's not record-breaking contract. Because if Nick Martin tears his ACL this season, there's not going to be a huge market for him.
Definitely
in free
not.
Agency.
All right, we're discussing the big decisions that have to be made for the Texans, no matter who is running things over at NRG Stadium. Whitney Mercilus. Now, Sean predicts that the Texans will guarantee Mercilus his salary this year and add on two more years for $13 million, with the first year being guaranteed. If they did that, then I would be sitting here thinking, okay, they're going to trade Clowney after 2019. Mm-hmm. That's what my thinking would be. I expect there to be not a ton of movements on the Whitney Mercilus front, and that's because if I'm Whitney, I kind of want to play this out. I want to play this year. I want to see what happens with Clowney, and I want to see if I can be used in a little better way to put up a higher sack total and see what I can get on the open market.
Either that or, Whitney's always been really, really good about doing whatever they ask him, and he's never going to be a pain in the butt about it or anything. But I do wonder, if he looks at Kyle Van Noy up in New England and sees like how New England uses Kyle Van Noy in a lot of different ways. And he's paid well enough. He's making $4 million this year, I think. But he's a free agent at the end of next year. Would Whitney prefer to be doing what he's doing now for the Patriots or the Texans?
What he's doing now?
Right. Well, what he's doing now is he's not going to amass a lot of sacks. And he's not going to get like a marquee pass rushing contract in free agency. But would he rather be doing it at a place? Like, would he think that, hey, New England's got a better shot at winning
a
Super Bowl than the Texans?
Your comparison in New England.
So what I'm saying is, like, go say, if they're going to offer him, if they're going to offer Whitney nothing special, and, like, he's made a good chunk of money already, I wouldn't see the incentive for him to sign that deal. If he's not really happy with the way they're using him, then he can wait, hit free agency, either go someplace that's going to let him be a hand-in-the-dirt pass rusher every single down, or a place like New England where, like, he'll do the standard Chris Long type of thing, go and try to get a championship.
I would think, I don't know Whitney Mercilus, but I would think if I were him, I would want to play on a team that runs a 4-3, and you can just put me on one of those defensive end spots, let me go after the quarterback.
Yeah.
That's what I would want if I was Whitney Mercilus. So to sum it all up, where you and I stand, Clowney, by the way, I expect at this point to play on the franchise tag, just to get that out of the way, because I feel like there's been no movements on that front. So we expect Reader to get a new deal, Nick Martin to probably get a new deal if it's realistic, and Whitney Mercilus, at least on my end, I do not expect him to get a new contract.